Hey, everybody, welcome to Hammered Out on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush, and I am joined today by Abe Eshkenazi, who is the organizer behind the upcoming ASCM conference. Abe, welcome to the show.
And welcome, Mike. Thanks.
I'll tell you that ASCM, I tripped over it because it's Association of Supply Chain Management. Yeah?
Yes.
All right, perfect. So, show's coming up.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about what attendees should expect. What are you hoping people get out of it? And then let's also take a step back and talk a little bit about ASCM.
Yeah, let me start with ASCM first, because I think that's a great foundation for moving forward here. The organization has been around for 60 plus years with a focus initially on the individual, the competency, capability of supply chain professionals, not only in terms of their, the capability and what they provide for the organization, but as important, the recognition, their voice in their organization. As we've evolved as an organization, we recognize that while we are training individuals, it really doesn't create value unless they work for an organization and implement the things that we're teaching them. So we've expanded our focus beyond the individual to the organization, focusing on a triple bottom line, not only economic benefits that the organization realizes, but their responsiveness, their agility, their sustainability efforts for the organization. And Mike, we thought that was the end of our journey. If we can train individuals, if I can demonstrate that they're providing resources and competencies for organization and making it more successful, we thought that was it. And then we realized that we had one more step, and that was the consumer, the patient in the industry, and the impact that supply chain has on them. So we've embraced that responsibility, not only on the individual, but for the organization on responsibility and sustainability, but as well as providing information for consumers and patients alike. And I think that really does lay the foundation for the conference, where we'll be showcasing a lot of the latest trends and innovations that organizations are implementing to address the agility and resiliency that we've all been hit with over the past 5 years since the pandemic started, and well before that. So really what we want to do is not only inspire individuals that there can be positive changes that you can make to their organizations, but show them and demonstrate organizations that have implemented these solutions so that they can go back with confidence that somebody else has done this and we learn from each other. This is a community that does like to share, and supply chain professionals are really at the forefront of, demonstrating agility and resiliency. No more can be said about their commitment than what we've seen over the past 3 to 4 years.
Sure. Abe, one of the things you said, and it kind of stood out for me, was sort of this ability to take the logistics or take the supply chain practice. I'm going to paraphrase this, but it sounded like you said, we're going to help supply chain practitioners earn a seat at the boardroom table. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's interesting because we had predicted this probably about 10 years ago, that the path to leadership within an organization focuses on individuals that have broad knowledge about all the activities in the company. There are really only two functions in a company that have to know everything that goes on in the company. Obviously, finance. Very little occurs in the organization that finance is not involved. And the second is supply chain. But yet, when we took a look at the path to CEOs and COOs, it traditionally was out of the finance and or the sales, not traditionally out of the supply chain. But there are exceptions. Mary Barra at GM, obviously Tim Cook at Apple. Now we're seeing individuals move into the C-suite. Now they have a seat at the table. Now they need to use their voice with that seat at the table. And this is something that we've been working on, is that leadership aspect of being a true partner with the CIO, with the CFO, with your CEO in the organization to help develop the not only the the objectives and the strategies, but to implement them as well.
As I go down this route, Abe, what are the couple of tips or a couple of things that you hope folks take away from the conference when going back to their organization, when presenting to leadership? What are sort of the couple of low-hanging fruit best practices that you're sure everybody's going to write down in their notebook or write on their phone?
Yeah, I think we have to take a look at the time period that we're in, Mike. We're in a period of significant instability of supply chains across the globe. Whether we're talking about the blockages in the Suez or the Houthis or the water issues in the Panama Canal, we have a very fragile supply chain. but there's a tremendous amount of innovation. There's a tremendous amount of resiliency and agility that's being applied. I think what we want to get out of this is, yes, we are in a turbulent environment. There's no doubt about it. But there are actions and activities and, you know, strategies that organizations are taking to ensure that they are resilient and agile and responsive to the changes. We are problem solvers. Supply chain professionals have always been, you know, the first call when there was a problem. So no surprise that these are the individuals developing the strategies to enable organizations to not only respond, but to move forward, you know, and gain market share and become much more sustainable and successful in these turbulent times. And so obviously everybody is looking at stability and being able to respond to the various, you know, disruptions that we have. I think walking away from it, individuals should feel confident that they do have resources, that there are ways that to enable your organization to be more sustainable and responsive, and that there are other organizations that you can learn from. And I think that's one of the benefits of getting people together. It's been a long time in terms of, you know, individuals exchanging information face to face. While Zoom and Teams are, you know, great tools, there's no, you can't replace that face-to-face relationship and that one-on-one engagement that you can have with people.
Sure. Abe, you've talked a lot about sustainability, and I know that's obviously a buzzword. It's obviously something that's important. I mean, heck, the trucking company I work with, 20% of our fleet zero emission. One of the biggest talk tracks in sustainability is who's going to pay for it? Yeah. You're right. Who's gonna pay for a zero emission vehicle? Who's going to pay perhaps more to put, you know, a container on a steamship that's running a new fuel? Yeah. Who's going to pay for it?
A great question. I think one of the things that we're recognizing in the, you know, the evolution of the concept of sustainability. First, we've seen a lot of starts and stops for organizations in terms of sustainability initiatives. We've seen greenwashing, we've seen hushwashing, we've seen a lot of different efforts that have, you know, enabled organizations to move forward, and some that may not have been as impactful. When we take a look at sustainability as an organization, we recognize that there are a number of stakeholders in the, you know, in the market. First is the consumers. To your point, are they willing to pay more for sustainable products? Secondly, are organizations responsive to what the consumers expect? And this is where we believe that they will be. That if we can inform individuals in organizations about how to be more sustainable and successful financially at the same time, I think we're, you know, we're making some inroads there. Obviously, we're seeing a lot on the policy and the regulatory side, especially coming out of the EU, in terms of, you know, reporting as well as compliance for sustainability standards. I had hoped that we would see a lot more from associations, industry associations, establishing those metrics, establishing the reporting standards. Unfortunately, it is much more regulatory and policy right now, as opposed to the industry getting together and identifying it. To your point, in terms of who's going to pay for it, ultimately, I think organizations can be more successful and, you know, explaining to their clients and to their customers about how collectively we can be much more sustainable. It is everybody in the system, Mike. It is not just one aspect that is going to incur the costs. It's going to be from the raw materials all the way to the production, the logistics, as well as the consumer. It's going to happen at every level, and we need to embrace it. We need not to push away from it. We need to embrace that this is a much more sustainable, you know, function for supply chains. Obviously, we want to supply what people and companies want, but we don't need to damage the planet at the same time.
Sure. And you've also spoken about kind of the history of supply chain a little bit, and, you know, the resiliency and agility. And I think a lot of people learned about supply chain when there was a great toilet paper shortage, right? Like, we all said, oh my gosh. And I think, you know, folks in the industry understand that that was more of a problem with UPC codes than anything else. If you went to your local Hilton or local Marriott, they had more toilet paper than they knew what to do with, but the grocery stores couldn't sell the big rolls because they were labeled the wrong way, which is... Yep. Only in supply chain is that a problem. One of my favorite things about attending conferences is that you can learn from folks who've been there and done that, yeah. Right? We learned about supply. A lot of folks learned about supply chain because of toilet paper shortage. But if you go back just a couple of years before that, there were companies in electronics manufacturing that said, oh my gosh, these tariffs from the Trump administration, are going to wreak havoc with goods coming out of Asia, we need to move all of our production to Eastern Europe, which then provided this opportunity for goods to come into the East Coast. And that provides a whole new set of, let's call it headwinds, for shippers that have said, oh, wow, we need, you know, we need stronger ports there. We need more opportunity. And of course, Savannah, New York, Baltimore even have done tremendous work. Mobile, Alabama have grown their ports and grown their capacity. You know, I guess the thing I'm going for is two questions here. One, how far along are we on the resilience path?
Yeah.
And then two, at a conference like ASCM, as a newer or younger supply chain pro, what are the questions I should be asking the gray hairs that are on site to say, hey, you've been there, done that. What can I learn from you?
Really interesting questions on the resiliency side. Let's separate it from agility, because the focus on resiliency is being able to respond to any disruption and maintain your operations. The agility side is, okay, we know there are going to be disruptions. We're going to take advantage of those disruptions and gain market share more than our competitors. The focus right now has been significantly on resiliency. There's no question about it. We see it in our top 10 trends that we're going to publish at conference, that resiliency and agility has moved up 2 points, you know, 2 marks in our top 10. And it is because of the disruptions and the lack of visibility and transparency that we experienced through the disruptions. Most of the disruptions occurred on tier two, tier three, and beyond, not at tier one. And that was the lack of visibility that we had as an organization, as an industry, in terms of the extended tiers. Well, good news. We've spent the last 3 to 4 years, you know, working on visibility, and now we know all the players, or we should know all the players. I doubt that there's a supply chain professional that can go into the C-suite right now and say, I don't know who or what is in my supply chain. So we now know everything and everybody in our supply chain. Good news. Bad news. We now know everything and everybody in our supply chains. And what we're recognizing is that we are not as sustainable. We are not as resilient as we should be. And there's where digital transformation is now coming in as a significant effort for organizations to connect everybody in their system so that they are able to get early warning indicators from their extended supply chain about disruptions. Great news. So now you're connecting everybody. Your small and medium-sized organizations don't have the capacity, don't have the resources or the talent to maintain the technology that you're implementing. So now you're opening up a whole host of cyber risk and ransomware and other risks in your supply chain. But it is a focus right now on digital transformation. You can get almost any amount of investment on digital transformation right now. Our hope is that you're getting that same amount of investment in your talent so that they can critically evaluate the data that's coming in and the data that's coming out from your systems. So I think that's one of the areas that, you know, we want to focus on, is that investment in people at the same level as the investment in your technology, which goes to your second question on the capabilities of the individuals coming into the workforce right now. It's a really interesting dynamic, because most of the leadership that we have right now are coming out of finance and engineering from the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s. That's where most of the leadership has come from. The individuals coming into the workforce right now are coming out of supply chain programs. These individuals are trained in foundational concept of supply chain. So we've almost had a reverse mentoring and the technology of these individuals coming into the workforce from the leadership that's in the industry right now. And so there's a positive aspect of it in terms of the digital natives that are coming in and the use of technology, much greater adaptation for these individuals. But the critical thinking and the real world experience are gaps for these individuals. And this is where most organizations are hesitating, because we're employing individuals that are digital natives and they're very comfortable with technology, but they can't critically evaluate or discern what the information is coming in and telling them. They, you know, I don't want to say blindly accept what's coming out of technology, but there's an over-reliance on the technology. We need individuals that can critically think and evaluate the data and the circumstance and apply their knowledge to it. And this is where that interaction occurs from the individual. You can't get it from technology. This is where that knowledge transfer occurs from the individuals, from their experience, from their relationships, from their coordination and communication across their supply chains. This is a great opportunity. While technology is a solution and has been applied, our focus is on maintaining that competent, capable talent pool so that you can leverage and really realize the benefit of your investment.
Got it, man. Understood. So one of my favorite questions to ask, and you touched on it a little bit, but every guest that comes on the show, I ask him, if you were talking to a new or recent college grad who says, Abe, I'm thinking about going into supply chain, what advice do you have for me?
You are about to enter into one of the most dynamic fields in the world right now. I can't think of a greater opportunity for individuals that want to make a difference at every level, from policy to corporations to individuals to patients. This is what supply chain professionals do. They enable our world to work. And I think the invisibility, the lack of visibility of supply chain prior to the pandemic, I think, created an identity crisis for a lot of supply chain professionals. We don't have to explain what supply chain is to individuals anymore. They know the term. They may not understand everything behind it, but at least we know when somebody says to their friends and their family, I'm a supply chain professional, they understand that these individuals are responsible to keep the world working, that the world does not operate without supply chain professionals coordinating across time zones, across cultures, across a whole host of activities and resources and logistics to make something happen, to get a product to your door. And now I couldn't be more excited about the individuals coming into the workforce right now, because these are the individuals that are going to shape and manage all the commodities and all the things that we need as individuals and as patients. We make it happen.
Love that answer, man. So show's coming up next week. Quick question for you. If people who maybe aren't attending want to follow along, social media is great for that. Are there hashtags people should be tracking? Is there a profile page set up, et cetera?
Yeah, they can check out ASM Connect North America, and they'll see all the various, programs and a number of those that are online that will be available afterwards as well.
Abe, I know your guy Santos here does a tremendous job of prepping clients for interviews, so shout out to him. What question haven't I asked you, or what should I have brought up that you're prepared for that I just haven't given you an opportunity to highlight?
I think we've hit on the key aspects of it. From my role, it is ensuring that supply chain is at the top of priorities for regulatory and all the stakeholders, for companies and for the consumers alike. Too often we've seen that, comments about, well, it's a supply chain problem. Well, that would be your supply chain, not somebody else's supply chain. And I think embracing the impact that supply chain has on our lives today, I don't know that we can do enough. As a matter of fact, I'm going to give you a shout out here. We are about to release a 6-part documentary on supply chain. And each of the episodes will take the viewer through 4 commodities or 4 products inside communications, healthcare, transportation, sports, and I'm missing one of them. But the focus is on enabling individuals, consumers, and patients alike to understand the complexity of supply chain, but how efficient it is to ensure that we are getting all the products and services. It's about time that we extended our role and responsibility. As I started the discussion, we started with the focus on a supply chain professional. We want to ensure that the consumer and the patient understands their role within the supply chain as well.